Let's begin our service this morning by singing together to hymn 726. Hymn 726, and the words will be on screen. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be, in working o'er and waiting, another year with thee. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving thy presence all the days. And even as we sing this hymn this morning, the coming of a new year, let this be the prayer of all of our hearts, both individually, that we would know God's help even this year, and as a church, we would go forward working for the Lord and knowing his blessing upon us. So we stand as we sing this hymn together this morning, please. Come to prayer this morning. I just want to read two verses from Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43, and just two verses that I want to read before we come to prayer. Isaiah 43 and verse 18 and verse 19, and it says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And isn't it good to know as we come to the Lord in prayer that we come before one who is able to make a way in the wilderness, able to bring rivers in the desert, things that seem impossible to man, yet nothing is impossible with our God. And so let us claim this promise today that the Lord would do a new thing amongst us even as we come into this new year. And let's even now come before him and pray unto this Lord at this time. Our God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for the privilege that it is to be found in thy house. And Lord, we come here today with praise, with thanksgiving, with love in our hearts, realizing that we come before the God of heaven and of earth, the one who has created all things, the one who is almighty, the one who is in power and is seated even in heaven today, having rule and authority over the earth. And God, we come before thee today. And Lord, we realize thy greatness. Lord, we realize thy goodness towards us that finds us here at the beginning of another year. And Lord, it is our prayer even today as we commence this year that this would be a year for thee. This would be a year that we would be working for the Lord. A year where even this church, this congregation would go forward knowing that God is with us and that to bless us. And Lord, we just pray for thy name to be exalted in this place. Oh Lord, we pray for salvation to visit even this place today. Lord, we pray you would come in thy power and come and speak to hearts and challenge them about the need to be saved. Oh Lord, we thank thee today for those who are redeemed, that we come through the work of Christ. We come accepted before thee as thy children, and not because of anything good in us. Lord, we realize that we are only sinners, but we are sinners saved by thy grace. And Lord, we thank thee for the great news, the good news of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save men from their sin. And Lord, we thank thee for Christ afresh today. We thank thee for that life that he lived in obedience to the Father. Lord, that life without sin, that perfect life that we could never live. Lord, even for that death that he died, we realize that he died in our place. He took on our sin, and he died for us. And it is because of everything that he has done that we can go free today. Lord, we thank thee that he even rose again from the dead and has ascended on high, making intercession for us. Oh, what a God we have today who loves us, who gave himself for us, and even prays for us today. And Lord, we pray that even we would love thee more in realizing all of this, that we would be prepared to serve thee more, to be those ambassadors for Christ. Wherever you have placed us, Lord, in the workplace, as we live day by day, may we be those people that would tell others about the word of God. God, we even pray for the service today. We pray for those who would love to be here but cannot come in today. We pray for those that are sick in the congregation. We pray that you would even come upon them, that you would restore them to health and strength. We pray for our own minister this morning who would love to be here, we know, but can't out of sickness. We pray you would even draw alongside Mr. Wilson today at home. We pray that you would even give him power, give him that healing in his body, that he would come back in the power and the blessing of God upon this work. And Lord, we pray for him. We pray for Rachel and the family. We pray that your love, your hand would be upon them, especially this year as they would try to go forward in the work. We pray that you would bless all of their labors, both seen and not seen. And Lord, we pray that we would all be together a mighty army for God, working together with that spirit of unity in the church. God, we pray you would help us all to put our hand to the plow. Help us to go forward, never to retreat in the work of God. And Lord, we pray for every ministry of the church. Lord, we realize that soon again, all of the children's ministries will be starting up next week. And Lord, we just pray for every worker and Lord, every ministry that would take place in this house. We pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to bless it. Lord, bless the faithfulness of the teachers. And may we see even souls being saved in these days. Oh God, we realize that we live in days of darkness, days where sin is abounding, men are getting worse and worse. There seems to be no thought for God, but yet we pray, even as we have been considering over the past weeks, we pray for that sound of an abundance of rain. We pray for that sound of the trumpet to come. We pray for God to be seen. We pray for his glory to be revealed to men and women around the earth. And God, we pray for men and women to realize they are in sin. Lord, they need a Savior, and then to see that Christ is able to save them from their sin. Oh God, we pray that even some sinner today would come to Christ, would cry out at the beginning of this new year, and that you would save a soul. Oh Lord, bless the preaching of thy word across this land, across this nation. Remember our brother Philip over in London today. We pray you even bless him as he commences another year of ministry for thee. We pray for your hand to be upon him and his family. We pray for our brother Matthew up in Limavady. And Lord, we remember so many who are faithfully laboring for the Lord. We pray you bless all of these labors of love. And Lord, we pray that you would give the increase. Lord, we realize that we are not able to do this. Lord, we need thy help. And so, God, we pray for thy help, thy spirit to come upon us as a people, that we would know God giving the increase. So, Lord, just bless us today in this service. We pray that everything that we say and do would go down to the honor and the glory of thy name. So continue with us now. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. We're going to turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. And I know maybe this morning you're looking up at the pulpit and you're seeing that I'm standing here and you probably didn't expect to see me. I certainly didn't expect to be standing here this morning as well, but I did get a message yesterday from Mr. Wilson saying he was unwell and if I would take the morning service. And so I thought, well, I know Glenn's along tonight, so I'll happily take the morning service. That's not too bad. And so, yes, I said I'll do the morning service. That's not a problem. And then about half an hour later, I got another message saying Glenn had phoned and Glenn's not well as well. So Glenn won't be along tonight. I'll be preaching both morning and evening. And I know maybe some of you will be thinking, well, there's not much incentive for me to come back tonight if I know you're preaching again. Well, let me remind you that we have group singing tonight. So there will be some singing and some singers taking part, and you won't want to miss that. They were meant to be singing last week, but they are going to be taking part tonight. So make all effort to come again tonight to the gospel service. But we're going to read from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Begin our reading at verse 28, and we'll read to the end of this chapter. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we end our reading at the end of that chapter, knowing that God will add the blessing to his word this morning. At this stage, we're just going to have the announcements. We ask Paul, I believe, to come and to give the announcements for the week that lies ahead.
On behalf of the Reverend Wilson, we do want to reach and every one of you along this Lord's Day, first Lord's Day of the new year, to Sandown this morning, also to those who are watching online. We do miss our minister very much this morning as he is unwell. And we just ask you to continue to pray for him and that he will know the Lord's hand upon his life in these days. We're also very thankful for Adam stepping in. Adam, I think, is doing his apprenticeship early in his Whitfield studies, but we're very thankful for him, and we trust the Lord will bless him. We really enjoyed Adam's ministry, of course, in the past, and trust that we'll know the Lord's help today as he ministers the word of God among us. As a church, we do convey our sympathy to our sister Shirley this morning on the death of an aunt of Shirley,
and trust that Shirley and the whole family circle may just know the Lord's hand upon them, even in these days. The services for the rest of today and for the incoming week, do remember today that we observe the Lord's table after the morning service. And then the prayer meeting, we're back for the prayer meeting this evening at 6 p.m. We would encourage each one to come and spend that time in prayer before the gospel service at 6:30, where again our brother Adam will be the preacher, and also the group from Sandown here will be ministering in song as well. So we would encourage each one of you to come back again tonight to the Lord's house. As Adam has said, our brother Glenn is unable to be with us tonight, but he will be back with us, God willing, on Sunday the 15th of January to report on his time out there in Kenya. Then on Tuesday at 8 p.m. is our Bible study and prayer meeting, and our brother, one of our elders, Mr. Ian McVeigh, will be along to take that Bible study on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. So again, we would encourage you all to come back again on Tuesday night. Then next Lord's Day, Sunday the 8th of January, we commence at 8:10, 15 a.m. the Sunday school and Bible classes resume, and then 11:30 a.m. our morning worship with our own pastor, the Reverend Wilson. 6:30 p.m. is the family and friends service, and the testimony on that Sunday will be Mr. Aaron Gumry from Ballymena, and there'll also be supper after that service next Lord's Day. Just some other announcements. The latest edition of the Sandown Herald is available today, so please avail yourselves of those as you leave the services today. Then the offering on the past Tuesday night for David and Rachel McCauley came to £960, and that is tremendous, a tremendous offering. And I'm sure our brother Kyle and also our missionary representatives here in Sandown would like me to convey to you your generous giving to all the works throughout this past year and to the work of God here in Sandown. That was a tremendous offering on the night. But if anyone still wishes to contribute to that, please do see your brother Kyle as you leave even today. The free will offering envelopes for 2023 are available, and if you want to get a set of those envelopes, then please speak to Kyle or any of the men on the door. Explorers Bible Club will recommence on Tuesday the 10th of January, and the Youth Fellowship will recommence again on Friday the 13th of January, God willing. The Sunday School then in Redburn recommences on Sunday the 15th of January, God willing. Do please remember that the offering boxes are available for you to place your tithes and offerings as you leave today. Again, and we just want to welcome, strange thing, welcoming one of your own, but we're so glad to have our brother Adam today, and we trust that he'll know the Lord's blessing on his life and ministry throughout today. Lord bless you.
Let me thank Paul for giving those announcements. I keep making the joke with Mr. Wilson, and I guess I'll share it publicly, that someday I'm sure the congregation here are going to get sick of looking at me in the pulpit. Maybe it's because you are my home church that you have to stick with me, but I'm waiting for that day where maybe you're tired and you want a different speaker, but hasn't happened yet. I hope it doesn't happen as well, but it's always a joy to step in, even last minute. We're always glad. We're told in Scripture to always be ready to give an answer, and so we pray that what we do bring from God's Word will challenge and speak to all of our hearts today. We're going to sing another hymn before we come to the Word of God. We're going to sing the hymn 454. We sang this on Tuesday night past, and I think we'll sing it again this morning. The Master has come, and he calls us to follow the track of the footprints he leaves on the way, far over the mountain and through the deep hollow. The path leads us on to the mansions of day. Hymn 454, and we'll stand as we sing again, please.
Thank you.
Romans chapter 8, and we want to consider the subject this morning of God's great love towards men. God's great love towards men. So with the word of God open before us, let again come and pray before God, knowing that we need his help today to rightly divide his words. So let's pray unto God. Our God and our Father, we thank thee already for a presence with us today, Lord, for the hymns that we have been singing that have called us to think of the Master who loves us, who gave himself for us. And Lord, we just pray as we come to even thy word today that you would be pleased to use this word to speak to every heart. Lord, I pray for thy help today, for thy spirit to come and to rightly divide the word of God, Lord, to speak and to use me even as a man of God, that messenger of God and God's message. And Lord, we pray even for help in the hearing, for help in the pew to be given. Lord, we pray for that receptive heart, that ready mind to receive the word of God. We pray that you would build up thy people, edify them in the faith today. And Lord, for those who are outside of the fold of God, Lord, we pray that even today you would speak to them, that even today would be the day that they would come, they would give their lives over to Christ, and they would be saved. So God, we just pray for this time now. We pray that you'll bless us and even speak to us now, we pray, in all of these things, glorify thy name, for we ask it in thy name, and for thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. The theme of love, it is no doubt a topic that has been written about by many authors and by many philosophers throughout the centuries. And yet it seems each time that we consider the idea of love that the true meaning of this emotion, it can never be fully expressed in mere words. Of course, it is at this time of year that we have just spent together that we openly show our love towards others. We have been exchanging gifts. Coming to New Year's, we spend time with friends, with family, because we have a love for them, and we share these events with them. And as we come to the Word of God, the theme of love is obviously one that flows through every book, every page of Scripture. The entire Scriptures, of course, speak to us about the plan and the work of redemption. And that work in itself, that salvation that was purchased for us at the cross at Calvary, that is undoubtedly the greatest display of love towards mankind. And so as we come to Romans chapter 8 this morning, we notice that the Apostle Paul takes time in this letter to the believers at Rome to tell them about this great theme, this great doctrine of God's love towards them. Now, the hymn reminds us that to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And so we realize the enormity of such a doctrine today. We are only really going to scratch the surfaces of this doctrine, but we want to consider these words in Romans chapter 8 under this subject of God's great love towards men. We want to notice three main qualities that Paul expresses about the love of God. First of all, notice with me this morning that God's love is a saving love. It's a saving love. We must always remember as we come to the Word of God, as we come to do a study on love of God, that we're not dealing with some earthly emotion. We're not speaking of some love that is subject to change. Our love towards people comes and goes. Man's love for things often changes, but that is not so with God. When we deal with God, we are, of course, speaking of the Almighty God, the one who is holy, the one who is just in all of his ways. And therefore, this love that God has towards us, it is a holy love. It is one that cannot be measured. It's one that cannot be surpassed on this earth by anyone else. And as we have said, nowhere else is the greatest display of love seen than in the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the focus of the Apostle Paul in these words. He centers on Christ. Look at the words of verse 32 in Romans 8. For it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And here in the beginning of verse 32, clearly there is a reference to the sacrifice of Christ. That great act when the Son of God, he became man, he dwelt among us. And why did he come? Well, it was because of the love of God. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, God so loved the world that he sent. It was all out of God's love towards us. It was a love that knew no limit. That God the Father did not spare his own son, but he gave everything that he had. He gave his only begotten son to save us from our sin. He spared him not, it says. He spared not his own son in verse 32. He was willing to offer him up. And so you can see already that there is nothing that can compare to this love. Dear believer today, remember that all of this was of God. We're speaking about the love of God towards men. For in our sin, we had no love for God. We had a hatred for God, as we will see. This action entirely involved God towards man. It was happened because of his mercy, because of his grace. And yes, today we will be focusing primarily on Christ, but from the very outset, can I say that this love of God, it is something that goes through the whole Godhead. Every single person of the Trinity is involved in this love. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They all come together and they all love us in the same way. And without one of their love, the love of God would not be what it is. They all join in harmony together. And it's important to know that. For many speak about the love of Christ. They center on the cross. And in doing so, they forget the Father that sent that Son. And they forget the Holy Spirit that applies that work of salvation to the heart. It's always important to remember that this love is something that is shared throughout every single person of the Trinity. Yet furthermore, remember how the Word of God, it describes us all from birth. It's not a pleasant picture that we are presented with as we are reminded by the Bible what we were in our sin. We were far from God. We had a hatred for the Lord. We had a hatred for his word. We had no desire to follow after God's righteousness. And sin corrupts us. Sin destroys our nature. It breaks our fellowship with God. And that is because of the fall of man that has passed on to every single person that has been born into this world. And yet the message today that comes from the word of the Lord is that God's love is still able. It's able to save us from that same sin. This is a saving love. But how could it be a saving love? How was all of this accomplished? Well, a sacrifice was essential. A sacrifice was necessary. You take the Old Testament priesthood in the book of Leviticus. The people of Israel during the Old Testament, they came to the high priest, and the high priest was merely a man. He was a man that offered and was appointed to that office in order to offer sacrifices unto God for the people. Those blood offerings, those sacrifices, could never save the people from their sin. Paul reminds us that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. But those sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were important because they pointed forward. They reminded the people that one day there would be a great sacrifice that would take place at Calvary. And is that not why we read of John the Baptist in the New Testament saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You see, these words that John the Baptist spoke, they would have been well known. They would have been able to be understood by the people. They would have been aware of the Old Testament sacrifices. And therefore, in John the Baptist saying that here is the Lamb of God, he was saying that here is Christ, here is the one who is sinless, here is the one who is spotless, and here is the one that is going to be offered up to save you from your sin. The Lamb that was sent by God was very God himself. And therefore, Christ is the one, the only one that is qualified to be this sacrifice. Yes, we are sinners by birth. Yes, we are far from the Lord. But Christ, who was sinless, Christ, who was perfect, he was the one, and he is the one today, that is able to reconcile sinful man back to a holy God. Look again at verse 32. It says, "But delivered him up for us all." Delivered him up. Those words are worthy of our consideration. For those words delivered him up in the Greek, it literally means to give over into the hands of another person. Yes, we read how Christ was delivered into the hands of Roman soldiers. He was given over to the chief priests, the scribes. That was something that physically happened. These were the instruments that God used in order that Christ would be crucified, that he would be placed on the cross. But there is more than this in Christ's offering up. For he wasn't just given over into the hands of mere men, but there was a spiritual offering up of Christ. Because Christ himself, when he was on the cross, he was separated from his Father, separated from that communion, that fellowship that he had with God, and he experienced hell on the behalf of the sinner. As his body there, he endured your sin on the cross. And the Apostle Paul here, he's seeking to show in verse 32 that God's love knows no limit. God held nothing back in this love. Instead, his Son was freely given over, and Christ freely, willingly went to the cross, laid down his life. No man hath greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. No love is able to compare to this love of God. Christ died in our place. He died in your place individually. He died in my place personally. He died as our substitute. He took our own sin upon him. And does that not humble us today to think of how unworthy we are of any mercy, of any love for God, and yet he did this for us? Very often we're guilty when we love someone that we only love them to a certain point. We only love them to a certain boundary. Maybe there are things that you would do, maybe for your wife, for your husband, for someone that's close to you. There are things you would happily do for them. But then maybe there's some other times where maybe they ask you to do something and you say, well, I wouldn't really be ready to do that. I don't love them that much that I would do that thing for them. But that's not the case with God. And God held nothing back. He gave everything that he had. He gave of his very best. And Isaac Watts, of course, penned it so well when he said, "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?" Christ was offered up. Christ suffered. Christ died on the cross. Why did he die? Look again at verse 32. "But delivered him up for us all." It was for us all. And you have to remember here that the Apostle Paul is writing to believers. He's writing to those that he knows have tasted of this salvation, who are saved. And so he is writing to the elect of God. He is not simply stating here that because Christ died, everyone is saved. No, that's not the case here. He is speaking to those who have already tasted of salvation, who are already saved. And dear believer, remember that Christ has died for your sin and for mine. And in salvation, we are saved from the debt, from the penalty, from the curse that is upon our heads. And let me stop at that point today. And let me address those perhaps who are in the meeting and have not tasted of this grace. Maybe you don't understand that to a personal level, why was Christ given over? See that he died in your place. See that he took your sin upon his body, and that he died for you. Such was his love for you. Yes, you might not have a thought towards him. Yes, you might not have a care towards him, yet see the love that he has for you. And would you not today see your sin? See how you stand before God, and then come before him. Acknowledge your sin. Ask him to save you, for he is able to save you for the sacrifice that he offered up. He is able to cleanse you from your sin. And so the first thing we see today is that God's love, very clearly, it's a saving love. But second of all, I want us to see that God's love is also a sanctifying love. It's a sanctifying love. For it's not enough that we say that God's love saves us from sin. To stop there would be to put a limit on God's love. We have to go further, because that is not the case. God's love doesn't just save us, but it then sanctifies the believer. You look at the well-known words of verse 30 in Romans chapter 8, and it says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." This verse is speaking about a process. It is a process that is still ongoing in your life and mine if you are a believer. You're predestinated by God. You're called by God unto salvation. Yes, you are justified, but we are not yet glorified. That moment of glorification has not come for us. This is something that is yet to come for the believer, still to happen within our lives. And so between being justified and being glorified, there is a time that the believer is to be sanctified. Now you might ask me today, what does it mean to live a sanctified life? What is sanctification? Well, for that we turn to the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And it tells us that sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. Dying more to sin and living more unto righteousness. Another way that I believe we can understand sanctification is that it means to be more like Christ. It means to follow his example in all things. Dying to sin, dying to wickedness, but living more and more unto God. And that is something that we are all commanded to do. If we are saved today, we are called to live holy lives before God. However, we have to stop and say, we have to confess, we're not able to do that. We're not able to carry out such a task in our own strength. In our own strength, we would wonder, we would feel God, as so often we do. We sin against him day by day. But that's then when we see the next quality of God's love, because it is sanctifying. It enables us to follow after the things of God. And again, this love is seen in Christ and in Christ's work as our Savior and our Redeemer. And for that, we see it in verse 34. It says in verse 34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is God that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And here we have in view again another aspect of the work of the Lord. We have noticed that he sacrificed himself, he died. But verse 34 goes on to say, "Yea, he is risen again. And he is even now at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, making intercession for us." It speaks about his resurrection. It speaks about his ascension. And it speaks about his exaltation. The same Christ that came and died now is in heaven, reigning over all. And notice what it says at the end of verse 34, "who also maketh intercession for us." We could literally render those words, "he is making intercession for us." In other words, the Apostle Paul is showing that this is something that Christ constantly does. He continually does without ceasing. Moment by moment, Christ prays for his people. What an encouragement that brings to our hearts today. To know no matter what we may face, and as we come to the beginning of a new year, many make plans, many make ambitions that they would love to achieve, and yet we have to confess, we don't know what a day brings forth. We don't know what the next second of our lives will bring forth. But one thing we can know as children of God is that we have one that looks upon us. We have one that has an interest in us, and one who intercedes for us in heaven. King Solomon penned it like this in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4. He says, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." Christ performs all of this work out of love. It's because he has a care for you. He has a care for me individually, personally. Let us all claim that today in our lives. It is then for this reason that Paul could say in verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Dear believer, today you have the victory. We have the assurance that we can live on for God in this world. Yes, we will face many obstacles. Yes, we will face many enemies who may try to bring us down. But we don't go on in our own strength. We go on with the strength of God. It is through him that loved us. We are enabled all because of the power and the ability of our God. However, we must always strive to do what we can. Very often when we come to that teaching, we say that God prays for us, that can cause the believer to become lax. Well, they believe, well, I don't have to do anything. I just can continue to live on as I am living. Christ is praying for me, and therefore there's nothing for me to do. But there is a responsibility on the believer as well to try with all of our effort, day by day, to stick close, to follow the Lord. And may we be those people who would always follow God's leading. May we make sure that no matter whatever step we take, that there is not one step in our lives that we take until we know that it's ordained of God. Don't take a step that would lead you away from him, but take those steps that would bring you closer to the Lord. Follow the footsteps of Christ. Go on walking with him. Begin this new year seeking to grow in your Christian life for God and to be more and more conformed to his image. Perhaps today I speak to one and you're struggling in your Christian life. Maybe you feel that there's something in your life that you've done and you've failed God. You've let him down. Perhaps the very fact that you cannot keep your own salvation, perhaps that's something that is troubling you, and the Apostle Paul will go on to deal with that difficulty. But you're right. You're correct. There's nothing you can do. We cannot do it in our own strength. You cannot keep your salvation. Neither can I keep my salvation. The message that we are always given is that God is with us. God sustains us. It's all because of him that we are conquerors. Victorious over the world. Victorious over sin. I always think of the high priestly prayer that Christ offered in John chapter 17. And he prayed to his Father. That very personal prayer from God the Son to God the Father that's recorded for us. And he prayed for his people. He prayed that they wouldn't be taken from the world, but that they would be kept from evil. We have to live in this world. We have to serve God, but we have the promise that we will be kept from evil by the power, by the love of the Lord. His love is a saving love. His love is a sanctifying love. It helps us to grow day by day. But one final thing to see is that God's love is a securing love. This is the final point that we want to look at this morning. And this is really the climax to all of Paul's teaching here in Romans chapter 8. Everything that Paul is teaching, all of the doctrine, all of the theology that he is laying down, it's going to build up to a point. He's making a point that he wants the people to see, he wants the people to realize. And ultimately, the point that Paul is making is that God loves, secures the believer. God's love secures the believer for all of eternity. Without doubt, this is something that I'm sure every one of us, every believer today has struggled with. At some stage in your life, you've questioned, you've doubted your salvation. Sin perhaps has crept in. The devil is attacking your mind. And one of the main themes in the book of Romans that Paul speaks about is the law and the gospel. The law and the gospel, he deals with these two subjects. And he seeks to show how the law cannot justify, but the gospel is able to justify. You remember the writer of this book, Paul, he was brought up as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Paul was very aware of the Jewish law and its teaching and the false teaching that had pervaded the church here in Rome. You see, there were those in this church, there were false teachers that were telling these believers that they could be saved, but they had to keep living on morally. They had to keep performing good works in order to keep that salvation, or else they would lose it. much like the Roman Catholic Church today, seeking to show that man's works must accompany God's grace in order to bring salvation. That is not the case. That is false teaching. Paul shows that we are kept by the love, the power of God. Paul attacks this doctrine. He lays down a strong defense. And there is nothing that we have to do to cooperate with the Lord. We are merely the recipients of all of the goodness, of all of the grace that has been accomplished for us. Now, don't misinterpret what I say today. I do not believe that there is a biblical warrant for faith without works. James himself writes, faith without works is dead. And so I believe that the Christian is to live their life for God, is to seek to serve the Lord, is to seek to carry on working for the Master. However, those works do not add anything to your salvation. No matter how much more you do, it does not secure your soul more in heaven. It does show the others that there's a change in your lives and we are to be those new creatures in Christ, but it does not mean that we are more secure than anyone else. And so you look at Paul's teaching here because he asks two questions. He asks a question in verse 33 and he asks a question in verse 35. He says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And in verse 35 he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And here's Paul openly challenging, is there anything in this world that is able to cause a separation between us and the Lord? And so what Paul does in this argument is he goes through some things that perhaps some people would say can separate us. And Paul tackles all of these problems head on, one by one. But pause for a moment. Take that question that Paul asks in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? How do you respond to that question today? Yes, we will go on to see that Paul answered that question with a resounding no. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. But is that truth within our hearts today? Is there perhaps a fear in our hearts that salvation can be taken away from us? We can be cast off from God in some way. Or remember the words of Christ in John 10, verse 28. And these are the words of security for the believer. Christ says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That is the certainty today we have of salvation. There is no thing, there is no man in this world that can separate us from God's love in Christ. And so look at Paul's argument in verse 35. In answer to this question, he asks, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And here Paul goes through all of the possible situations, all of the problems, all of the trials we might face in life, times of sickness, times of difficulty, times of poverty, even times of pain, and even times of death and persecution when he mentions the sword. There's a great variety of things that are mentioned. And does that not reflect all of our lives? You know, we all face individual problems. No two people will go through the exact same thing in life. We all have our own set of difficulties. But notice the teaching. Yes, we will all face our own problems. Yet one thing is true for every child of God today, and that is that we are kept, we are secured by the everlasting arms of God the Father. Was it not for this reason that in verse 28, Paul could write that well-known verse, and we know that all things work together for good. Dear believer today, notice that we have a God that keeps us. But dear sinner today, may I challenge you with this thought. How do you get by when problems come into your life? How do you get by when storms of life come in? We have seen that for the believer, there's great comfort in having the presence, the power of God. Yet for one that is without Christ, There's great peril. There's great danger. I know that you would see today that the Lord is the refuge that you need, that you would come on to him for salvation. 30, verse 36, there is a quote to Psalm 44, and we won't go into that, but in verse 36, he references this psalm and speaking about the persecution that the Christian will no doubt face, even in the fiercest trial. In verse 37, Paul could say, we are more than conquerors. And so the teaching here is that there is no enemy that can defeat our standing in the Lord. Then look at the final statement which Paul makes in verse 38 and verse 39. For he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For I am persuaded. That term persuaded that he uses in verse 38, it means to be convinced. There is no doubt in Paul's mind here that he is secure in Christ. He knows it, and there is nothing that can attack that truth. I trust that all of us would have the same mentality, would have the same mindset of Christ, that we would be persuaded, that we would be confident in knowing that God secures us day by day by his love. We are saved by his love. We are sanctified by his love. And we are secure by the love of God. I close this morning with an analogy. And when I find this online, I couldn't not use it because of the similarity in the name and my name. But Mr. Hugh Kennedy. Mr. Hugh Kennedy was a well-known Christian in Ayr in Scotland. And it's recorded that when he was on his deathbed, that he called for a Bible to be brought over by the family. Now, Mr. Hugh Kennedy, his sight had gone at this stage. He could not see anymore. But he asked his family to turn to Romans chapter 8. And he asked for his finger to be set on the words, I am persuaded that neither life, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He asked his finger to be set on those verses, and then he asked, is my finger on them? And of course, they put his finger on the verse. And when they told him that it was, without speaking any more, he said, now God be with you, my children. I have breakfasted with you and shall sup with my Lord Jesus Christ this night. And then he died that same day. That was a believer who trusted in God. That was a believer who knew that when he passed away, he would go into the presence of the Lord, and the Lord was true to that promise. I pray that we would claim these verses at the start of this year, that we would be going forward as believers, as a church, with confidence, knowing that the God who loves us, the one who guides us, the one who goes before us in everything, he is able to perform everything by the power of his might. And dear unbeliever today, I challenge you to start this year with God. May even today be the day of your salvation. Leave off your sin. Stop running from God. Confess your sin to Christ and be saved today. And then know the securing power of God. Know your sins forgiven. And know that you will have a future home in heaven. I pray that the Lord would use these words today to speak to our hearts. Let's just bow in a word of prayer before we come to our closing hymn.